Hi, this is John Edmiston with Insights for Eternity. We've been looking at the book of Colossians and what God's Word says about God's salvation. Today we'll be looking at Colossians chapter 2 verses 11 and 12 and we'll be discussing what God has done to us through Christ. We know what God has done for us, but do you know what God has done to you? Let's have a look at that controversial topic in a few minutes. Before then, let's pray. Father in heaven, we know that you only are the true instructor. You are the true teacher. You have given us an anointing that teaches us all things. We now ask for your Holy Spirit to become our instructor as we examine your word. We ask that your word will come alive to us, and that we will understand some of the things that Christ has done for us and to us, and that you will make the book of Colossians truth to us. Through your great name's sake, in Jesus' name, amen. So, there we are. In the name of Jesus, we're going to claim understanding. We're going to claim wisdom. We're going to claim truth from heaven, and we're going to receive it. We're going to believe that we are going to receive truth from God. You and I have to believe that we receive, and we can receive wisdom, joy, peace, and love. Today we're going to receive understanding of the Word of God. Colossians chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. And in him you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in the removal of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised up with him through faith, in the working of God who raised him from the dead. Now, what's this teaching us? It's teaching us that God does things to us, that he circumcises us, that he puts to death our old man, that we're buried with Christ when we get baptized, we're raised with Christ when we come out of that water. And so we find that God is doing invisible things to us that eye cannot see, ear cannot hear, things that have not entered into the mind or the understanding of human beings, but God is doing them to us. And he's changing our nature. He's changing us from a fleshly nature into a spiritual nature. He's taking out the old hard heart. He's getting rid of the coldness and the selfishness and the meanness and the cruelty and the witchcraft and all the demons that dwell in our souls. And he is breaking apart all the fallow ground. And he is transforming us from glory to glory on a daily basis. So God is at work in you to will and to work for his good purpose. He is doing great, invisible, mighty things. In your soul, in your mind, and in your heart, God is at work, and he's at work at all times. So you need to trust the Lord, and you need to focus on these scriptures and trust that God has circumcised your heart. And in him you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands. This is a circumcision of the heart. It applies to male Christians, female Christians, everybody in the body of Christ, because it is not a physical circumcision at all. We are not circumcised physically as Christians, though you can be circumcised as a medical procedure if you so wish, but it has absolutely no spiritual significance. For the circumcision is without hands. It's not of the body. It's of the heart. As it says in Romans, for a person is not a Jew who is one outwardly. And true circumcision is not something visible in the flesh. On the contrary, a person is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is of the heart, by the Spirit, not the letter. That man's praise is not from men, but from God. So, back in the time of the Colossians, Christians were getting praised for entering into Jewish rituals such as circumcision. And the Jewish believers would come along and they would try and force Christians to obey Jewish laws. And they were called the Judaizers, or the legalizers. And they would come along and they'd say, look, you're a Christian now. Now get circumcised and you'll be a super Christian. You'll be a spiritual Christian. And this problem was there for the Colossians and for the Galatians. And there in Acts, it's there in Romans. And Paul addresses it and says, you don't need to do that. In fact, in Galatians, he says, if you do that, if you get circumcised to get some sort of spiritual benefit, if you think you can add to grace, you're in tremendous trouble spiritually. in Galatians, he says that people have been bewitched, that this is such a false teaching, it's witchcraft. And let's look what it says in Galatians 5. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm, and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. Behold, I, Paul, say to you that if you receive circumcision, Christ will be of no benefit to you. And I testify again to every man who receives circumcision that he is under obligation to keep the whole law. You have been severed from Christ. You who are seeking to be justified by law, you have fallen from grace. For we, through the Spirit, by faith, are waiting for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything, but faith working through love. So there it is in Galatians. These Galatians were trying to get an extra spiritual bonus by works, by having their flesh circumcised. And Paul says, well, that's not going to work. In fact, it's going to sever you from Christ. It's going to cut you off from God because you're not trusting in God. You're trusting on your own religious works. And Paul says, your own religious works do not avail before God. They put you back under the law. They put you back under performance-based Christianity, performance-based faith. If you're blessed, if you do good, and you're cursed if you do the wrong thing. And God has come to deliver us from performance-based Christianity. He's come to deliver us from the Jewish law. He's come to deliver us from a system of having to perform all the time. And so being circumcised is nothing. It's neither circumcision nor uncircumcision. If you were circumcised as a medical procedure, that's fine. You can go along with that. If you're not circumcised, that's fine. What matters is faith working through love. And that's where we have to be with this. It's a tremendously controversial issue even to this day. And you need to know that the circumcision is of the heart, by the Spirit, not by human hands and not by the flesh. You cannot do anything to your body that makes you more spiritual before God. You're not more spiritual if you eat pork or you don't eat pork. You're not more spiritual whether you dress this way or dress that way. Of course, you have to be decent. Now, God isn't saying the externals don't matter at all. They matter in a practical way, but they have no material benefit before heaven. You are not justified by your physical works or by the operations you've had on your body, or any marks or you've got on your body, or any tattoos. They are of no significance before God. It says here in Philippians 3, verses 2 and 3. Philippians also had the same problem. Watch out for dogs. Watch out for evil workers. Watch out for those who mutilate the flesh. For we are the circumcision, the ones who serve by the Spirit of God, boast in Christ Jesus, and do not put confidence in the flesh. You see, the Christians that got themselves circumcised and said, now we're superior to you because we're more Jewish than you, we're more like the original people who had the gospel, we're more this and more that, they were boasting in their flesh. They were boasting in their observance of the Jewish law. They were boasting in their knowledge of this and their knowledge of that. And they're saying, see, we're superior to you. And they were putting confidence in the flesh. And we can put confidence in the flesh in other ways. We can say we're smarter than someone or we know more of the Bible or know more of this or that. And we're not to put confidence in the flesh. We put confidence in God. We put confidence in the Holy Spirit. We put confidence in the work of Christ on the cross. These are the things that we have to put confidence in, and not on physical circumcision, not on obeying this law or that, not on eating kosher meat or not eating kosher meat. Instead, Jesus has declared all foods clean. So if you need to eat a pork sausage, you just go ahead and eat a pork sausage because it doesn't matter. Of course, you need to be healthy in the food that you eat, so make sure you cook it well. But spiritually, it's insignificant because Jesus has declared all foods clean. And we can't impress God by obeying some Jewish ritual. There's people going around saying that you have to observe the Jewish method of Passover and not the Christian, or that you have to do things this Jewish way or that Jewish way, or say that Yeshua is the proper name rather than Jesus. God isn't fooled by that sort of thing. He's not impressed by the external observances of such things. You don't have to worry about that because we're not required to be Jewish at all. Now, I'm partly Jewish in my heritage, and I know what it is to have relatives who are fairly famous Jews. I'm not going into that. I don't want to boast. I don't boast in the flesh. But I do know that Jewish heritage is of nothing before heaven. What matters is my faith in Christ Jesus. So what matters before God is your faith in Christ Jesus. The circumcision is by the Spirit of God, and our boast is not in our knowledge, not in our nationality, not in our looks, not in our intellect. Rather, it's in Christ Jesus. We don't boast about our money or our gifts to the church. We boast in the fact that we have been saved. We've been gloriously saved through the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. So you need to put away the externals of your faith. You're not living externally, but internally. And we are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands by putting off the body of flesh by the circumcision of Christ. We're to put off the old nature. We're to die to sin. We're to get rid of those fleshly, angry, selfish, pouting parts of our life. We're to put them off. We are to be new. For if anyone is in Christ Jesus, he is a new creation. Behold, new things have come, and old things have passed away. And in Christ, you've been circumcised, you've been changed, you've been operated on by God, and now you are a new human being. Going on to the next verse there, in Colossians, verse 12, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised up with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. So, when we got baptized, when you and I got baptized, and we should be baptized as believers, we have been buried with Christ. You see, there's a lot of things that happen to us when we're in Christ. We're buried with Christ, we're raised with Christ, we're seated in heavenly realms with Christ, and we will return with Christ. And here it says, in our baptism, when we go through that water, it's a symbol of the fact that we are buried with Christ in baptism. We die with Christ on the cross. Our flesh is crucified on that cross. And then we are buried with Christ in baptism. And symbolically, when we're raised up out of the baptismal pond, we are raised with Christ. This is identification, spiritual identification with the work of Christ on the cross. So we have been buried with Christ and we are dead to sin. Let's have a look at that. It says it in Romans chapter 6. We'll go there for a fairly large chunk. Romans 6 verses 1 to 11. And it talks about how our dying with Christ is also the end of our life in sin. Romans 6, 1 to 11. What should we say then? Should we continue in sin so that grace may abound? Absolutely not. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Or are you unaware that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too may walk in a new way of life. For if we have been joined with him in the likeness of his death, we will certainly also be in the likeness of his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, in order that sin's dominion over the body may be abolished, so that we may no longer be enslaved to sin. Since a person who has died is freed from sin's claims. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him, because we know that Christ, having been raised from the dead, will not die again. Death no longer rules over him. For in light of the fact that he died to sin once for all. But in light of the fact that he lives to God. So you too, consider yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. So what it's saying here in Romans 6 is that we're not to sin anymore. We're to be dead to sin because we died to sin in the old life. We died to our old nature when we were baptized, which is another way of saying when we were converted. Back then in the biblical times, as soon as someone was converted, they were immediately baptized. We see that with the Ethiopian eunuch. So baptism became the word that people used for conversion because baptism could be measured. It's an actual event that you could see in someone's life. They got saved and they got in the water and they got baptized immediately. So the day of one's baptism was the same as the day of one's conversion. Now that's changed a little bit. Now baptism can happen a lot later than conversion. So there's three things that go together. Getting saved and converted, getting baptized in water, and baptized in the Spirit. And unfortunately today they get separated a bit. But if you haven't been water baptized and you haven't been spirit baptized, it's pretty important that you do both. If you're saved, go get yourself water baptized and get it done quickly. And then ask for the baptism of the Holy Ghost, so that the power of God may be upon you, so that you may be a powerful witness in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. But however, we're going to focus on baptism here, and that is it, conversion, as the cure for sin. If you're not converted, you're going to be battling sin day in and day out because you don't have any strength from God. You're trying to do it on your own. You're just religious. You haven't found out what it means to be born again. And God tells us that when we're born again, we receive a new nature. And we die to that old nature. We die to struggling on with religion, trying to be good over and over again, and never making it. You have to believe that Jesus does it for you and that you cannot do it yourself. That you believe in Christ, and Christ is the one that gives you the new nature. Christ is the one that does the circumcision of the heart. Christ is the one that makes you new. And you have to trust Jesus to make you into the person that you really want to be. A person without sin, without the dominion of sin and addiction over their life. A person that is set free from the grumpiness and sadness and self-centeredness of the old nature. Because our old nature is very self-centered. It's always complaining. It's always getting angry. It's always getting fussy. And we can say goodbye to that old nature when we die to self and die to sin and we identify with what Jesus did on the cross when he was crucified, dead and buried. And eventually he rose again to new life. Here in the last part of the verse, it says, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead. When you believe in God, the resurrection power of Jesus Christ comes to work in your life. Faith brings the resurrection, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God. God is powerful. God wants to change your life right now, and you have to believe that God's power is big enough for every problem in your heart. Every sadness, every sorrow, every sense of failure, everything that's going on in your life, you can be raised into the heavenly realms with Christ Jesus. You just need to put your trust in God and not on yourself, not in your relatives, your tribe, your country, or any other thing. Do not trust in man, trust in Jesus. Trust in what Jesus is doing in your life, has done in your life through the cross, and will do in your life in the future. You need to throw yourself and all your life trust on Jesus Christ, who is the powerful working of God in every human life on this planet. And you just have to avail of Jesus because he wants you saved, he wants you delivered, he wants you holy, he wants you sanctified, he wants you to be full of love and truth. And Jesus wants to do this for you, and you just open up your heart, your mind, your soul, and say, Jesus, I believe in your resurrection power. I believe that you're going to raise me out of all this junk in my life. And we will be raised with Christ through faith in the powerful working of God. Now, God raised Jesus from the dead, and God has promised to do exactly the same miracle in your life. He will raise you from spiritual death into spiritual life. And one day you will also be physically raised out of the grave to an eternal life in heaven with Jesus Christ. So there's a spiritual resurrection and a physical resurrection. And God's going to resurrect your body, and he's going to resurrect your spirit and your soul, and you will be in glory with God. God has the power to make your life new. And this is only possible because of what Jesus did on the cross. You're raised with him. You're not raised on your own. You're not raised because you're good. You're not raised because you're virtuous. You're not raised because you live in the right place at the right time. You are not raised because you are a special person who's better than anyone else. No, you cannot trust in the flesh. You can only trust in God. You can only trust in what Jesus has done for you. And like the humblest person on the planet, you have to leave it to God to do his resurrection miracles in your life and through your life and along into the future. You see, God is grabbing hold of you. You are not in control of your spiritual life. You can only have what Jesus has purchased on the cross. And that, in fact, is all things, because the whole world has been reconciled to God, and we have been reconciled to the world, and God has a wonderful reward for us, and Jesus has achieved many things on the cross in the cosmos that we've seen in the previous broadcasts here on the book of Colossians. And you really need to study the book of Colossians. But we're raised with Christ through faith. Okay, what is faith? Faith is believing that what God says is true, that when you open your Bible and you read it, it's true. It's also believing that what Jesus said about himself is true, that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one comes to the Father except through him. Faith is this trust in God. It's this active believing in God and throwing yourself upon God in absolute trust. Faith is believing God's word. Unbelief is refusing to believe God's word. Doubt is being unsure whether God's word is true or not. Presumption is making up a word from God that does not exist. But faith is believing God's word and walking out on it as the substance of things not yet seen. So when you've got faith, you believe God's word and you walk out on it like you're walking out on water. You believe what the Bible says is true, even though you can't see it's true. And you walk out on the scriptures, you walk out on Jesus, you walk out on the trust in the nature of God, and then you find success starts to come your way. You find that things start to change in your life because of the powerful work of God. Now, this is a spiritual work that comes through the cross. We have died with Christ on the cross. Our old nature is done away with. Our new nature has come because Jesus has risen from the dead. And you need to reckon on that. You're not the one that changes your life. Your life is changed by the cross. Your life is changed by believing in the cross. There's no seven steps to spiritual victory. There's one step, and that's believe in Jesus. And then Jesus does the rest. Because we die with Christ, we rise with Christ, we're put in heavenly realms with Christ, we return with Christ, and we receive our resurrection body with Christ. Everything comes from believing in Jesus. And once we believe in Jesus, and once we obey Jesus and do what Jesus wants us to do, and we trust and obey, then we start walking in heavenly power. So these Colossians were drawn aside into a deception where they thought if they did all these Jewish things, if they ran around and they had a kosher diet and they got circumcised and they did this and did that and obeyed these Jewish festivals, that they were somehow superior Christians. And they weren't trusting in Christ. They were trusting in their own religious self-effort. And Paul gets very, very angry with that. And he says, no, 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 no. That just ruins you spiritually. You've been taken aside. You've been captured by an empty philosophy. Don't go there at all. You cannot trust in your own works to get you into heaven. You can't say that you can get into heaven by going to Bible college. You can't say that you're going to heaven because you went to that revival. You can't say you went to heaven because you did this or that or went to church 72 times. They're not the things that get you into heaven. You get into heaven by believing in Jesus and by keeping on believing in Jesus until the day you die. It is your faith that unleashes the powerful working of God in your life to turn you around and give you a new life. So do not trust in physical circumcision. Do not trust in Jewish ancestry. Do not trust in the things of the world to make you rich before God. Because it is not the things of the world, it is the things of Christ that make you rich before God. Excuse me, I'm going to cough. So, there we find God is on your side. He is on your side if you're on his side. If you put aside pride, if you put aside the things of this world, and you glory in Christ, you listen to the Spirit, you walk by faith in love, then you're walking the Christian life properly. These Colossians, they'd gone off balance. They'd gone completely unbalanced in their faith, and Paul was bringing them back onto the straight and narrow and saying, don't you run around trying to earn your own salvation. Don't run around trying to impress people by how spiritual you are. You're not going to impress God by having a big black Bible. You're not going to have impression of God if you wear some sort of bishop suit that's all purple and a little clerical collar and you give yourself a long name like the Archbishop of Thumpity Thump. That isn't impressing God. That's trying to do a circumcision with hands. That's trying to operate on yourself and get Pharisee-like impressions before people. If you run around calling yourself an apostle or a prophet just to impress people, or give yourself fake PhDs to impress people, that's giving yourself a circumcision with human hands. That's saying, look at my flesh, look what I've done, look what I've achieved here, and I'm more spiritual than you are, and God's opposed to that. The circumcision is of the heart. God looks on your heart. Are you loving? Are you kind? Are you good? Are you gracious? Are you someone that is compassionate to people? Do you share your food? Do you share your accommodation? Do you care about your relatives? Do you honor your mother and your father? Is your heart full of the joy of the Holy Ghost? For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but it's love, joy, and peace in the Holy Ghost. So are you going to be walking in the Holy Ghost? Are you going to be walking in some sort of pompous spiritual achievement? I don't want you being pompous. I don't want you running around thinking that your physical attributes of some sort make you more acceptable with God. No, you're to identify with the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Not with any denomination, not with any tribe, not with any marks in your body, not with any clothes that you wear, not with any Rolex watch that's on your wrist. These do not impress God at all. Instead, you're to be walking with Jesus Christ forever and ever. And you're to show God a pure heart, a holy heart, a heart that cares about the word, a heart that believes in Jesus. And your life is to be a work of grace, a work of the Holy Spirit, a work of faith and a work of love. And as you do that, you'll be in the right place spiritually. You won't be swept along by the foolish fads of doctrine and every wind of doctrine that goes along. Don't believe those people who run around saying you've got to visit Jerusalem or that you've got to do this or you've got to be baptized in the Jordan. They are externalities. They're not the truth and they're not going to help you at all. You just have to trust in Christ and nothing of the body and nothing of the flesh. Now I want you to go and believe in Jesus and keep reading the book of Colossians. This is John Edmiston signing off with Insights for Eternity. God bless and may your day be glorious. Amen.